Hi, it's Diane. It is Thursday, April 30th, with the 8 o'clock group. So far we have Terry and Paulette with us. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Who wants to start with their check-in?
I have to go last because I haven't been on a call in like 2.5 months.
Which one? I don't know the voices. Who is that? Terry or Paulette?
That was Terry.
Okay. All right, Paulette, pressure's on you, babe.
I'm just kind of with last week's learnings. I am trying to let go more and more. My daughter, who's how old is she? 17. She started a job about a month ago at Chipotle. So we're trying to with all the dynamics of working and getting homework done, and this is her senior year and graduating, and I'm trying to let go with I went to my last school conference last week, and she had a couple F's, you know, just in working in progress. So I did what I could with those and follow up, and I'm trying to let go again. But it's kind of been better that she has less time to do homework.
Ah.
You know what I mean? I mean, with time frame, it's shortened for her, so there's a lot more pressure for her to finish things in a shorter amount of time, or in less time, really. So I've kind of been watching and seeing how she's reacting to that, and she's doing okay. You know, I think things are just okay, and she wants to, she has depression as well, but she wants to be tested for allergies to milk. What's that called? Dairy allergy. And, you know, I guess I just find myself overwhelmed. I told her, let's just focus on graduating, okay? I just don't want to go there with, you know, more. She's also a vegetarian, et cetera, so with more challenges to eat. So just kind of working on not working on that. So.
Yeah. So what about it has been the hardest for you, Paulette?
Well, I guess I'm just trying to feel where it's okay not to help her and where it is okay to help her. And I think just my being more honest and how I feel is better, you know. I think, you know, because I don't want to deal with something, well, then I tell her that. Before, I've been kind of afraid to tell her because I don't want to, you know, I want to, I've been just kind of on, walking on eggshells a little bit because of my tendency to go overboard with her and, you know, and being too much of a hovering mom and, you know, causing depression or, you know, being part of, you know, the reason for it. So I just need to be more honest and keep that honesty going and just checking in when I think having her check in with me when she thinks appropriate. But it's challenging with the work. I mean, I'm still doing her wash because she's doing homework, and it's just what things she can take over and not. But it's harder because she has a job and homework. So.
Right. Well, and so this is the thing. It's that constant balance of figuring out how to hold the bar at a level that she can handle without exploding and be helpful. And my guess is that for you and for a lot of us as our kids get older, it's like sometimes doing things for them is a way to stay connected to them because they tend to shut us out at different aspects of our life.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I love about what you said, though, is by sharing with her how you're feeling, you're teaching her some emotional intelligence. So it's pretty normal to feel resentful. It's pretty normal to feel confused about where you should help and where you shouldn't help. And and she's at a point, you know, where she can begin to hear that, and you aren't saying it to make her feel guilty or anything. You're just letting her know to be aware of that. So how did she receive it when you let her know?
She was okay. She was. She asked me, "Well, how are you, Mom?" Because I was. So, you know, she's more aware of, you know, of my, you know, I feel like I can tell her that when I'm overwhelmed too, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's good. Yeah.
Well, I think it normalizes it for our kids, so thank you. Okay, I see somebody else joined us. There's a third person, somebody from California. Who's on?
Sorry, I had you on mute. Yeah, this is Lisa Winnick from California.
Hey, Lisa. So we're just doing a check-in.
Hi.
So we got Paulette and Terry and Lisa. So Paulette just checked in. Terry or Lisa, you want to go next with your check-in?
Well, I've been on the phone a little
okay,
while, Terry, so I'll go. So
okay.
I haven't called in for quite a while, so I haven't had a chance to check in. We had been working on homework after school club, and that's going really well.
Great.
Continues
Yay.
To go well. Yay. It has made my life so much better. It's amazing. So my biggest problem solved. Nowadays, the kids get home from school 2 days a week before I do. Only one of those Mondays is a homework day, and I'm just working with her to get herself started on her homework before I get home. And I'm doing a lot of the same things I did back then. I'm asking her that morning, what are you going to do when you get home? And this week went pretty well. She didn't start her homework until I got home, but she was working on it before I walked in the door, so that was good.
Cool.
And then for things that I need help with one of two things for today. One is she does not know when she's hungry. And as a little bit of a background, when she was 2.5, she had Guillain-Barré syndrome and lost all feeling. It takes off a coating of your nerves, and she lost the ability to walk, had to relearn to walk. She couldn't feel her legs, her arms, her face, and we believe she couldn't feel a lot of her central body. So she's kind of lost the ability to feel hunger. And when she's hungry, she gets hangry. And
mm-hmm.
she goes from this wonderfully sweet child to this absolute, like, nothing you can do except get food in her will make her feel better. So one of the things I want to do is have her start recognizing when she's hungry, or recognize the signs that she's hungry and do something about it before she takes it out on the rest of us.
Well, and Terry, it may be that you need to consider a structure or something for her, because if she literally has a difficult time noticing, by the time she notices, it may be too late. And so maybe kind of creating a routine where she's eating on a more regular basis, or that sort of thing could be helpful too.
Yeah, we do have one in place, although I found out today that her entire lunch, they pack their own lunch, and we don't check it. But today she had packed for lunch 8 cherry tomatoes. Her whole lunch. And her morning snack was a box of juice and 1 cheese stick. And I'm like, there's no way you are going to get through the day without a meltdown. So I've told her that I will be checking in on her lunch from now on. But the routine I do drill in when they get home is unpack your backpack, have a snack. Unpack your backpack, have a snack. And this is the child who, when I see the first sign, I'm like getting the peanuts and what else can I get, a cheese stick. And I don't care if I'm cooking dinner. Here you go. Because she needs it.
Yep.
So I need her to kind of like get to the point where she can just feel, I'm feeling like a little bit angry inside. And maybe let me check in with myself. Have I had something to eat recently? And I don't know how to get her to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so does that feel like the place you want to take aim today, Terry?
Yeah, I had something else in mind, but I think I want to focus on that, because that I think would really make her happy.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, Lisa, what about you? What's going on at your place?
I'm trying to figure out.
Okay, sorry, I couldn't figure out how to use my phone. This is Lisa. Are you still there?
Yep, we're there.
Hello? Okay,
yep.
Okay, great. So what's going on for me? Well, I guess things are pretty good. As far, you know, one of my big issues was homework also, and I feel like we're just really making, you know, good strides in that, you know, whereas before, like, my son had to have somebody sit with him 100% of the time to do his homework, now I can be like, okay, you know, I'll take him, you know, into my room where there's, like, less distractions and tell him, you know, I want you to do this, finish the social studies paper until, you know, and I'll be back in 5 minutes, and then I don't come back in 5 minutes, and then he comes downstairs, and he's done. And so I'm really pleased with that. And, you know, he, you know, asked me if he can listen to music on his phone while he's doing homework, and so I say, okay, and so he's rocking out, but that's fine as long as he's doing his work, and he is. So it's going, I feel like everything is going pretty good. And last week we talked, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about feelings and, like, you know, acknowledging other people's feelings. And, you know, so other people, like my dad lives with me and my boyfriend, and, you know, they get upset much easier with my son, you know, when he yells or he, you know, acts badly. And I kind of look more at, like, you know, well, why is he acting this way? And so instead of, you know, getting into it with them, I just kind of been acknowledging their feelings, and that seemed to work. So that's good. I guess where I would want to focus today is, you know, my son, when he's in school, you know, he's not always doing everything that he's supposed to be doing, and we got him a, a 401k, but that's not it.
A 504?
So, that's it.
A 401k. I don't know what I'd rather have a 401k than a 504.
It's one of those.
That's hilarious.
The 504 or the other thing, the IEP.
IEP, right?
And yes. So he's supposed to spend, you know, go to the resource room for help with things, but he's not really utilizing that at all. So I need to contact the resource room teacher and his teacher and find out what's going on with that, because you know, sometimes, like, you know, there's math stuff and he doesn't really know how to do it, and he says his teacher's really good in math, so he doesn't need to go to the resource room, but his teacher, you know, is overwhelmed and has too many children, and so I need to focus a little bit
on
that.
What I heard you say is that your focus is going to be on figuring out ways to encourage him to take advantage of the resource room. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he gets a half an hour a day, and he's not going. So,
okay.
You know, I'm not really sure what that's all about, so I need to find that out. But really, I'm just counting down the days till the end of school. You know, everybody, it's so funny how most, you know, and then, you know, just getting, you know, like, people are constantly, you know, telling me, you know, things. You know, my son is not on medication, and I think he's doing okay. And, you know, and I just, you know, just, you know, people that know me and know about it tell me things, well, you know, kids that, you know, are not on medication may self-medicate later, and, you know, just all this stuff, you know, and, you know, you're not really doing him any favors by not medicating him. But, you know, at this time, like, he's tried medication before. We tried it for a couple of years, and he doesn't like the way that it makes him feel. And at this point, I feel like, you know, we're doing okay. And, you know, so I'm just, you know, just kind of letting people say what they want to say, because people will, and I'm just not getting, not really getting too involved in the conversation. Just saying, uh-huh. So that's been interesting too.
I can't tell with that, Lisa. Is it what made that come up today? Is you're feeling like it's.
Well, because my colleague, you know, talked to me about it today. Her sister is, like, a fourth grade teacher, and, like, she's kind of, you know, been on me about, not her sister, but her, about, you know, maybe I should have Isaiah on my son on medication, and, you know, not, you know, is it really fair to him for him not to be on medication, and, you know, about the, you know, and about, you know, so she just brought all this stuff up today, and I just didn't really want to get into it with her, because I just feel like, you know, we'll make our decisions for our family, and when he's ready, or he, you know, there seems to be a real need for it, then, you know, we can revisit that.
It's kind of like lots of people could have said that to you, and you wouldn't have flinched. Why Why did it?
Well, I just feel like everybody has advice for me, and I really don't want to hear it. You know, or I really, you know, I just kind of feel, I don't know. So, I don't know, but I guess it's just going to be a constant thing. You know, it's like I'm not asking for the advice. It's just coming to me, you know, whether it's from my boyfriend or my father or my, you know, colleagues or whatever. So, and I just kind of feel like, you know, I'm going, you know, I have this that I come to, you know, when I do a lot of reading and research on my own, you know, and go to the website and read information. And I feel like, you know, I'm really pleased with how things are coming along with my son. So
Lisa, how do you want to handle it when people give you advice?
You know, I'm just kind of, I don't know. Like, you know, I just kind of hear what they have to say and acknowledge them, but I just kind of feel like we're going to take our own path. So, unless I ask for it. So,
yeah. Well, and I think that that's the piece of it is that, you know, if you haven't asked for it, then it's, you know, people give their opinion freely. You can thank them and move on. You can, you know, and so the question is, what is it about them giving you their opinion that troubles you?
You know, because it was like, you know, when people say things like that, it makes me think like, well, you know, am I doing the right thing? You know,
it makes me question.
So
it makes you question, and that makes perfect sense. So if people asking you questions about something that you're not, you know, 100% confident in the decision that you made, it makes perfect sense that you kind of go, okay, wait, am I making the right decision? And so, so is it an opportunity for you to relook at your decision, or is it a troublesome sort of thing for you? I mean, how do you want to look at it?
I don't really, you know, I think at this time I don't really want to relook at it because I think that we're doing pretty good overall. And I know, you know, and I just kind of feel like we'll, you know, just kind of continue to see how things go. And, you know, I don't really, I'm not going to force him to take medication. He feels very strongly that he doesn't want to. And, and of course, you know, I hope that he doesn't end up, you know, self-medicating himself when he gets older.
What it sounds like is of importance to you is that you're on some regular basis kind of making sure that you're continuing to make the right decision, and whether that's, you know, evaluating how he's doing and saying, well, is he doing okay enough? Am I feeling good about where he's at? You know, the reality is that, you know, I would encourage you to not make a decision solely on something you said a couple of years ago, because our kids, I mean, things change, kids' development. I'm not saying that tomorrow taking medication would be, he would enjoy it or whatever else, but, you know, I just, for any of us, making a decision in the moment rather than on historical stuff can be very helpful. You know, you're an intelligent woman who's going to continue to make sure that you're doing the best thing for your son. What would it take to just trust that and know that if and when it's time to revisit this decision, that you'll know that?
Yeah, I agree. I think that I will know that because I think that, you know, if he is struggling, then we can revisit it. And right now, I don't think he's struggling. I think he's thriving. I think he's appropriate. I think that he's doing pretty well, and I'm proud of him, and I think he's proud of himself. So.
Yeah. Well, and so it's kind of like that, you know, I was talking to a client today about gremlins, about the little voices in our head that kind of creep in and make us doubt. And, you know, at some point you kind of just say, well, thanks for your opinion. I'm all set.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Paulette, I want to go back to you and clarify where you want to take aim.
Well, I think just in continuing to letting go and listening to – when she's ready for her to ask for help when she needs it. Rather than me stepping in, I'm trying to work on that.
So can you pick one particular area? Because there's a lot. I'm sure there's a lot for you to let go of. Is there one particular area where where it's hard? Because I mean, you're letting her go. You're pushing her out of the nest at some point in the next, you know, however many months here. But is there one particular area that you could take aim on, Paulette?
That's a hard one. I don't know. I can't let go of the grades yet. I just can't. She hasn't graduated yet.
Well, okay. So is that you can't let go of it, so you're making a decision not to let go of it, so maybe that's not the place to take aim. Where else could you take aim where you really feel like you could let go a little bit or that you need to and it's hard?
Probably... I don't know if this is letting go, but I want her to do her wash.
Okay, so having her be more independent in terms of taking care of her own laundry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. All right, so let's jump in and talk about our topic for this week. And I'm in the workbook on page 56. And our topic is about keeping it simple. And love this topic because we so overcomplicate things. It's part of human nature, I think. I'm pretty convinced of that. But there's really kind of, when I think about this topic, there are three things that I want to highlight for you guys. One is just about the logistics of life. And a lot of times we make our life pretty complicated, and we're taking on a lot of different stuff, and we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, or we're trying, you know, we think, you know, here's the example, we were talking about this in the group earlier this week, is, you know, you see your neighbor, and she's volunteering for the PTA, and she's on this committee, and she's doing that, and she's making the homemade Halloween costumes, and she's baking the cookies and doing all that stuff, and we go, wait, shouldn't I be doing that? And we make our life much more complicated than it needs to be because we've got a should there. And most of us didn't, when we started having kids, we didn't expect to have complex kids. We didn't expect to have kids that took more energy than average. And so, you know, I think that want to encourage everybody to kind of really look at your life and say, you know, where are the places that I'm making it more complicated and taking on more than I can, and stressing myself out unnecessarily. The second thing I want to kind of, that ties into this is when you think about working with your kids, and some of you have done behavior plans and charts and systems and structures and things like that, and we talked earlier about potentially helping, helping your daughter set up a system around the hunger piece of it. But a lot of times we put in behavior charts, and they're crazy complicated, and I know Elaine was talking with the Sanity School folks a few weeks ago, and she was remembering the first behavior chart she ever did, and she, like, literally recorded every single behavior from the time her daughter got up at 7 a.m. to the time she went to bed at, you know, 9 o'clock at night, and had a check mark or something for each one of those. And it was like, you get 2 points for this, and you take away points for that. And you know, we tend to get these systems that are just so complex that we end up abandoning them because they're too hard for us to keep up with, let alone our kids to keep up with them. So that's kind of the second thing where I think about keeping it simple. And then the third thing that I think is really important around keeping it simple is about the way we communicate. Because a lot of times we as parents tend to want to explain ourselves. And so we give lots of details, we give lots of reasons. In fact, I had a mom on the call the other day, and she said every time she asks her son to do something, she gives him 3 reasons why it's important to her that he does it, which... You know, I think that at some point there's some value in helping our kids to understand the bigger picture of why things are important. But at some point, a lot of our kids tend to shut us down because we get too wordy and too complicated, and they need real simple instructions like choose coat now instead of, you know, lots and lots and lots of words, because we start to sound like Charlie Brown's teacher, right? Blah, 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 or what? Wah, wah, wah. And so... Those are the 3 areas that I think about when I think about keeping it simple. It's about, you know, just the logistics of life and making our life more simple, making sure we have systems or structures or charts or plans that we do it in a way that takes aim and is easy for us to follow through, and then when we communicate that we're doing it in clear and concise ways that our kids can hear it really easily. So what comes up for the three of you as around this idea of keeping it simple?
Well, this is Paulette. You asked us where are the places we make it more complicated, and I just thought of, well, I want to know all the details of her missing work or homework. Well, not homework, missing work, you know, and did you follow up on that? I mean, that just gets, I know it irritates her when I get it, when I ask too many questions or ask too many questions about her social life. If she's, you know, she's going to go to, not to the prom, but she's going to the concert. And, well, what day is it? And what time are you meeting them? And what time are you going to take pictures? And I, you know, I'm kind of relentless because, you know, when do we go shopping for the, or am I going to go shopping for a dress or something like that? I just get all caught up in the details.
Right. So you're kind of, it's almost like hyper-vigilant is what I'm hearing. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So what do you think? What's that about, Paula?
Well, I think that's probably how I like to have my life.
You like to know every single detail. It makes so. What is knowing every detail? How does that help you in life?
Helps me plan. You know, when mm-hmm. should we? Because we don't have much time to shop. We don't. You know, it's the weekend, not the week, and it helps me plan, I guess.
Yeah. So the more you know, the more prepared you feel. It's kind of like you feel like a Girl Scout. It's like, be prepared. I've got to know everything so I can know what to do. And it's that. It's kind of. It feels mm-hmm. when you say it, it feels a little controlling. Is that fair?
Yes. Yes. I mean, my husband thinks I'm controlling. She's like, oh, stop. You know.
Well, but it's a coping mechanism, and it's a particularly normal thing, especially when you're in a situation where you don't feel you have a lot of control. I mean, you've got a maturing daughter. You're trying to allow her to be independent. You want to give her some rope, and it's mm-hmm. scary because you're not controlling everything anymore. And you, if I had to guess, you probably spent a lot of years controlling everything in her environment to make it easier to manage because it was so crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, for most of us, when we're in situations where part of our life is completely out of our control or part of our life is completely upside down, we tend to go a little overboard and feel like we need to have more control. So how can you get enough information to help you to feel prepared to not cross the line to the point where she's feeling like you're being a little bit over the deep end?
I don't know, I have my husband ask her.
Well, okay. What else could you do?
Sometimes I just think it's the way I ask for something or.
Interesting. Tell me more about that.
I don't know, maybe it's like the pace. Maybe I'm asking it too fast. Because the answer she gave me wasn't good enough or something.
So what do you really need to know? You know, if you were going to bottom line it for her, what would, I mean, is it
yeah.
the details you need to know, or is it, honey, I need to know how I need to be involved in this. Can you give me a heads up so that I can plan?
Well, that would be a really nice way of asking it.
So, what, my guess is that, is it that simple? Just another phrase, or is there, if you were to say that to her, would you then be worried that she's not going to give you all the details that you need?
Oh, probably. I mean, like,
yeah.
I guess I'm about not trusting that she could give me the right information, but, or she'll say, well, I'll find out, you know, tomorrow, or, you know, I can print the ticket online and, you know, and there. I just, you know, kids.
Well, so this is the perfect opportunity for you to collaborate with her and to say, look, I know I'm a planner. You may not be there's going to be some, I know you're going to need me to be involved in some level. I want to know a few things. I don't want to be all up in your business, but how can we find the balance here and make sure that we get the details that I need as soon as possible so that I can be there for you, but that I'm not like feeling like I'm asking you 7 million questions.
Yeah. I'm writing as you say that. So.
Because what you're trying to do, Paulette, is you're trying to figure out how to, you're developing a skill in her, right? Which is, how do I know when to ask for help? And if you ask her a million questions to find out what help she needs, you're really not teaching her the skill. You're just doing it for her.
Right. Okay.
So how would you handle it differently?
I'm just trying to repeat. So I'm asking her to how I can be involved. I'm a planner and you're not, and I just want to know a few things so that I need to know I know what I'm doing and not be annoying at the same time. Does that sound right?
Does that feel different?
Yeah.
Because one sounds a little bit more fear-based, right? So you're afraid you're going to miss the beat, so you're asking 7 million questions to make sure you've protected yourself. The other is, hey, let me know. I really need a heads up. It's important for me so that I can plan to be available for you.
Yeah. Cool.
So what comes up for anybody else?
Hi, this is Lisa. I just love the simple instructions. So I try to do that a lot. Like, you know, just, you know, because I do have to end up asking my son something many times, like, you know, brush your teeth or water bottle, you know.
Right.
And so then I'm like, you know, and so then I do, you know, and he'll just, you know, I'm like, where's your water bottle? And he'll just get distracted. And I'm like, and I just, you know, try to, you know, water bottle, like I'll say a few times, and then finally, like, oh, water bottle, and then he'll go and get it. But the same thing with brushing teeth, so just try to keep, like, instructions very simple. Now, he does always want to have an explanation for why he can't do something, and so sometimes that gets a little complicated, but, so that'd be helpful to, you know, try to be just, you know, just keep it simple. I love the idea of keeping it simple. We don't do behavior charts or anything because they're always just way too complicated for me to to deal with.
Well, and it's interesting to hear you say, Lisa, that he wants to know why behind everything. And so it's interesting because sometimes we as parents, we want to explain ourselves because we don't want to be that mom who says, because I said so, or because I'm your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to have really good, justifiable reasons and very favorable logic that makes perfect sense that we would ask for what we're asking for. Because we want to be reasonable
mm-hmm.
parents, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but he's like a little lawyer, you know. He wants to have a long conversation, you know, and try to figure out why he can't do what I want him, you know, what I told him that he can't do, and then he tries to make deals with me. So
how can
he
handle that differently? Is that something you want to tackle differently?
Well, you know, I just try, you know, I get pretty frustrated when that happens because I do, you know, because I think that it is very simple, you know, like you can't continue on the computer because it's time to go to bed, you know, and that's it. So, or because, you know, you need to eat dinner or, you know, you need to finish your homework. So I don't really, you know, I don't really think so. I mean, I just kind of think like he is the way that he is, and so he's going to ask me a lot of questions, and, you know, and that's fine. And I just end up keeping on repeating myself because it's just the reason why, like I said, is, you know, because he just needs to go to bed or he needs to be doing something else. And, you know, then he, you know, he'll get it, and then he turns off the computer and he may pout or be angry about it, but then he moves on. You know, and I try to give him, you know, I still do like this whole, like, you know, 5-minute thing or 10-minute thing or you got a half an hour left or whatever it is. So he kind of knows, you know, what's coming and why. So, no, I don't think I want to handle it differently unless you have any suggestions. But
well, and the thing to kind of pay attention to is, you know, sometimes kids tend to use it as a delay tactic. So it's kind of like if I ask a million questions, then I can put it off. And so, you know, just balance that. And if you sense that that's going on, the tool that we talked about in the call the other day was, you know, at some point to say, you know, asked and answered or conversation closed or something to kind of let your kids know that, you know, we're done. I feel like I've addressed your concerns and we need to stop talking about this now. And so I think that's the thing to kind of just pay attention to in this kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. Those are good things to say. Yeah.
So other thoughts about this idea of keeping it simple?
This is Terry. We've always almost had to keep it relatively simple. She's 10. She still can't follow three step instructions. So if I say empty the dishwasher, and while she's emptying the dishwasher, I say, and you need to set the table to her. I've told her to stop unloading the dishwasher and start setting the table. So we know, wait, she'll now at least tell us, you gave me two instructions, I can only follow one at a time. So we know to back off. And then we've always kept activities limited. I try to keep them with one activity a week so they've got something to look forward to, but not over-programmed. We're not running from place to place to place. It doesn't work for me. It just leaves me stressed out. So no one needs a stressed out mother because that's not pleasant for me or them. So we've tried very hard to keep it simple. In other words, they're still in bed at 7:30. They're 10 and a half. And that works. And in the morning, there's a simple routine. This is what you need to do. Anything over and above that is awesome, but you don't have to do more than that. And so we've kept our expectations mostly fairly reasonable.
So what is it that makes it difficult? At what point does it become difficult for you?
It becomes difficult if... So we had a slightly difficult end of our morning that I felt sad about. She was up early. She was up before us. She was dressed. She was eating her breakfast when we got in the shower, and she had a school council meeting at 7:30, which meant we needed to leave at 7:20. And at 7 o'clock, I kind of, shouted down, because she had finished, shouted downstairs, Ellie, we're going to leave in 20 minutes, okay? And she said, okay. I said, are you packed? She said she was packed. So I didn't get downstairs for another 10 minutes, and then by the time I packed myself up, I'm like, you know, come on, honey, we're going to leave in the next couple minutes. She hadn't brushed her hair. She didn't have socks, and she couldn't find her sneakers. And I was like, you know what? At 7 o'clock, when I said you had 20 minutes, you should have looked at the mirror, made sure your hair was done, gotten your socks, and found your sneakers, because we could have helped you find them wherever they were, easier. So she ended up being 5 minutes late and a little bit mad at me when she got out of the car. But 5 minutes late for her meeting, which was not the end of the world. We've been 5 minutes late on, you know, my responsibility before. So I felt bad because she felt sad.
Yeah. So in looking in retrospect, how would you have handled it differently?
I think at 7 o'clock when I was at, I would ask those couple more questions. Do you have any shoes and socks? Let me take a look at you and make sure you are presentable. Not the worst thing for her to go out with her hair not done. There are plenty of kids who do, but I like my kids to go out the door looking decent.
Well, and at some point it's going to be important enough to her, and you'll have a fight with her because she won't leave until she gets her hair exactly the right way, right?
Right. I was trying to, like, set, like, a base standard, and you know what? If we miss and the hair never got done, I survived, she survived, and I do try to look at it like if one thing isn't just right, move on. When they were little, we used to iron their clothes every morning, and now I've decided I don't care. Too much dress. I don't care. Wrinkles and wrinkles.
Yeah, so it's interesting because what if by doing that and doing it transparently, right? So you're doing it out loud to her and you're saying, okay, you know what? It's fine. Move on. It doesn't matter if your hair is like that. It's helping her to learn how to keep it simple and to make those trade-offs because our kids tend to get very structured and very rigid, and it's like these are the rules, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. And you know, and so it's kind of teaching your kids flexibility and resiliency in a different sort of way. Does that resonate?
Yep. The good thing is rigidity is not her issue.
Yeah.
But teaching her flexibility that there might be trade-offs. Like, okay, you know, all the days I've let her go off to school with, you know, pants that are like 3 inches too short. As I've said, you shouldn't wear those pants anymore. But I like them. Okay. She's not getting made fun of at school yet. Or if she is, she doesn't care. So.
Yeah. So I'm curious, Paulette, when you're thinking about your daughter in the laundry,
mm-hmm.
how could you apply some of this concept of keeping it simple?
Maybe just do one load instead of two or something. I already asked her to bring both down.
So what's your goal in having her do her laundry? What's your real goal?
I'm having her be more independent. And we have to do wash probably every other day because we only have two work shirts. That's the other thing. She's working at four days a week. I mean, two shirts to work in is not enough. So I'm trying to get more work shirts so we don't have to wash so often. But
so it's a little bit of a headache for you because she has to have laundry done fairly frequently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reality is that if you're trying to teach her independence, you could pick any number of things. The laundry doesn't necessarily have to be that, but it doesn't sound like it's just about the laundry. It's not just about independence. It feels like there's something else in there.
I don't know. What else would it be besides independence?
Well, it's a headache for you because you're having to do laundry more than you normally would because of a requirement of hers.
Right. And I have said to her, I said it in a pretty good way when we were walking. I said, could you please ask? I've asked her 4 or 5 times to ask at work if she can have more shirts, more T-shirts, and she said she will. And I said, it is a hardship on me. I said, to be doing your wash, every day or every other day. I mean, it's not even it's every day, really. And it's not killing me. You know, I try to let her know it's okay, but I do need you to ask that. And then she came back and said, I did ask and I can have them. And I went, okay. So, you know, the next step is getting them in the house. So, you know.
Yeah. So if you were going to try to you think about the process of doing laundry and you want to make it simple for her.
Mm-hmm.
You said that one of the barriers is she's really busy. She's got schoolwork. She's got work. How could you help her come up with a way to help you that might be simple for her?
Maybe a day, I don't know, a day of week that she can do the wash.
So pick one day a week, and it's her job to do it that one day because that would help you and it would take some pressure off of you. And you could probably pick a day that might be easier for her to schedule it because maybe a day she's not at work or a day that she's not at school.
Yeah.
So what do you think that might look like?
Like probably Saturday. We've asked her to have one weekend day that she doesn't work to do homework, and she could take time out to do her wash that day.
Okay. And so if you're trying to get her to create a habit, so we know for our kids that we don't want to we don't have to tell them to do it. We've got to create some kind of trigger or some kind of routine that, you know, helps to make it more automatic. So what might that look like if you're trying to help her to make it happen and make it easily happen?
Or put a reminder on her phone. I you know, I send a reminder, a text or a thing. Should I text her on that day and say, do your laundry?
Well, so here's the question. So your daughter's old enough that part of what you're trying to do is to teach her skills to figure out what she needs to remember things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if it's not the step before that is the conversation with her that says, I want you to start doing at least one load of laundry a week on the weekends. And I know it's not always easy to create a new habit. What do you want to do to start remembering, and how can I help you?
Yeah.
Because it may be that she does want you to text her, or it may be that she wants to set up a reminder on her phone, or she may want to say, okay, on Saturday morning when I come back from X, Y, and Z, I'm going to automatically, that's going to be the first thing I do when I walk in the door, and that's going to be her way of remembering. I mean, so it's about, you know, at the age that your daughter is, part of what you're trying to do is to teach her how to create a new habit for herself, because she's going to need to start doing that more independently in other areas as well.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think she's going to respond to that request?
I think she'll be okay. She might. I'd be interested in what she says to help her remember, or help. How is she going to help herself to remember? I mean, I think she'll be okay with it. She knows I want her to do laundry, and she'll be open to it.
All right. So we have just a few minutes. Does anybody have a particular issue they'd like to get a little laser coaching around? No? Really? Come on. Free opportunity, guys.
Well, I'll take it on the helping her recognize hunger and doing something about it.
Okay. So, Carrie, what direction do you feel like you're interested in going? You were talking about creating a habit or helping her to pay attention and notice. When you think about, you know, all the different tools in our toolkit, where do you think you want to start?
So I think we've done a fairly good job on creating the habit. Fairly good, and then when I ask her what she's going to do when she gets home, she knows what she's going to do. So
right.
I think, and that includes, like, number two on the list is snack. I think the next thing is I probably need help with what are some tools I can use or some ways I can help her either think about every once in a while whether she might be hungry or not, or recognize the feeling. So I've tried to ask her, you know, what are you feeling? What's that feeling? And can you remember that feeling for the next time? And as you feel that feeling come on?
Well, it's interesting. How aware is she that she doesn't recognize when she's hungry?
She knows we think she doesn't recognize that she's hungry. She will still tell me she's not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is it about this that's important to you?
Well, she turns into a totally different child. She goes from being...
So when she gets hungry, she gets the hunger.
She gets
magic.
Really angry.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do. The other day, I called her down to... every night it's at dinner time, we call her down. You know, if you tell her... I can't tell her when we're going to need to set the table, so I call her. And I came to just, you know... I wasn't at the bottom of the stairs. I was underneath the stairs. And I said, Ellie, come set the table. And I didn't know she was already on the stairs. And she was so mad at me that I didn't know she was coming down to set the table. If I had seen her, I wouldn't have known she came down to do it either.
Yeah. Well, part of this is figuring out when to let it go. I mean, when you know that they're already over the deep end and they're hungry, it's kind of like you've got to just, you know.
Oh, yes. So I will offer her. She will be so mad she won't take food.
Yes. I've got one of those too. So,
yeah,
so is it about,
like,
so I guess the question is, so is it about really her being aware that she's hungry, or is it about her creating the habit to eat more regularly? I mean, what do you think is a realistic expectation,
well,
given her level of awareness?
In most cases she would have eaten within the last 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Maybe she didn't have enough snacks. Maybe she's been taking, just tomatoes. She told me, I haven't been that hungry lately. And I said, I understand that you still need a big lunch or a decent lunch. And lunch for her has been an apple, a cheese stick, and, you know, some vegetables. So it hasn't been a huge lunch anyways.
There's a couple pieces you could do. So one would be, making sure that she's got, you know, a routine for not only how often she's eating, but what she's eating. So, like in our house, we have a rule that says at breakfast, you have to have protein with every meal. Or you have to have protein and carbohydrate every meal. So breakfast, lunch, snack, dinner, you know, bed, you know, those 4 times a day, you need to be eating something that includes protein. And so that can be kind of a more time specific habit that you could create.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular time? So is it dinner time when you typically notice that she's the hunger? Okay.
Yep.
So does that mean she's not getting enough snacks, or is that she's not remembering snacks, or what is?
So she is not telling me she's not getting enough snacks. If she goes to the after school program, they have a juice, a fruit, and then something, Pirate's Booty or a couple other chippy kind of things. So that's often okay. It's probably more when we are running a little bit late, or I know there are some days where they don't have a snack she likes, but she would never tell me that. And oftentimes I'm like, we come home and I'm like, okay, who needs some peanuts? Because I know peanuts will get her through the half hour, but I don't ask her every day because we get home at different
times. Well, and I guess that maybe that's the thing, is that is it a habit? And is it, you know, could you keep a box of power bars in the car? You know, so the minute she gets into the car, the question is, scale of 1 to 10. And so instead of just saying, are you hungry? Because it's not a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
It's a scale of 1 to 10, how hungry are you?
Or you just say...
You know, or you teach her to say, what did you eat for snack, and have her be specific, and then say, you know, here's, you know, eat, don't eat, that sort of thing. But it's kind of a getting, it feels like she may not be ready to be able to tell when she's hungry. If you want to kind of go through an exercise of helping her figure out if she's hungry, one of the things you could do is just to kind of have, you know, set an alarm on her phone and then just check and see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a scale of 0, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, on a scale of 0 to 10, what's my hunger right now? And have her check and do a little, I don't know if she loves doing charts and graphs and stuff like that. I've got one kid who likes that sort of stuff. I've got another one who could care less. But, you know, having her do like a hunger log where she's keeping track of what her hunger is like at different times during the day so she can see, well, I'm usually really hungry when I first get up in the morning, or I'm not hungry when I get up in the morning, but I'm hungry at 10 a.m. or, you know, and that sort of stuff. So.
Yep.
That would be a way to kind of raise her awareness, but it feels like maybe a step before that is to just get her in the habit, if it's always at dinner time, of bridging the gap with something in the car or once you get home, and creating the habit for you where you're asking her to eat. Does that resonate?
Yeah. I think if I ask her even on the way home on a scale of 1 to 10, how hungry are you? Or I can ask, did you have snack? And I've been changing my work schedule gradually over the last 3 weeks, so I've been actually picking her up earlier. So usually it's come home and make dinner, and she'll have a little bit of homework to do, and I'd always made sure she had a snack then. But now that it's a little earlier, it's like 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes after she would have had a snack. So, and maybe she didn't have enough snacks. So I think... you've made a whole bunch of awesome suggestions that I can't wait to implement.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So let's do a wrap-up. We're on page 65, and there's 56. 57. Dyslexic this evening. Four questions. What did I focus on or pay most attention to in the calls today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success? So take a minute, jot down some notes, and I would love to hear from all three of you what your aha was and what you're going to do with it. So whenever you're done, go ahead and jump in.
Hi, this is Lisa. I think for me, I really liked when you were talking earlier, when you were talking about that teaching them emotional intelligence. And just being able to, you know, explain, you know, feelings to my son. And, you know, because I think that's good that he can understand, you know, because we already talk a lot. But specifically to say, you know, I'm feeling this or I'm feeling that, or when this happens, I feel that way. And just so that he can kind of learn more about emotional intelligence. I like hearing about that. And then I am going to, you know, work on this, getting in touch with his teacher and the special ed teacher to see what's going on there. And I love the idea of keeping it simple. I'm looking forward to just kind of seeing over the next week or two, you know, where are the places in my life that are complicated and is there ways that I can make it more simple. But I can't think of anything really right now off the top of my head that is complicated that I could make simpler, except, you know, and then, but I like the things, you know, the things that you said to, you know, instead of keeping going back and forth with him about something, to say asked and asked and answered or this conversation is closed. So he's not going to like that, but I'm going
to. Help. I'd encourage you to set the stage for that and say, you know, and maybe, I don't know if you guys, did any of you guys listen to the family meetings webinar? But, you know, that might be, one of the things you could bring up and say, okay, here's how I'm going to handle it when I feel like you're continuing to badger me or talk about something when I feel like, we're done and I don't want to talk anymore. And you might have an escalation process. I mean, I know that in my house when I say asked and answered, one time my daughter went upstairs and wrote me like this 3-page letter about her perspective and why it wasn't fair and everything else. And when she took the time to write 3 pages, I was like, okay, I feel like I need to honor that and open up the conversation again, because she obviously didn't feel heard, and not so much that, you know, it wasn't about a delay tactic or anything else. It was really that she didn't feel like I understood her perspective, and so I did open it up. You know, so that it's about kind of figuring out that balance. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
This is Paulette. I guess I focus on asking my daughter how she can help herself. I mean, it's something that, you know, kind of kept repeating in all our lessons is communicating with them and asking them, you know, if they're able to communicate, how they can help themselves. And I just took away, I mean, it's about the way we communicate and, you know, asking, there's just so much in how you ask a question. And I think sometimes I have it, and most of the times I don't, and I fall away from, you know, I just ask it how I want to, and I it's so hard for me to kind of just get into the mode of asking it the right way or asking it, you know, in a good way. So I want to focus on that. And I guess I want to ask her to let me know how I can be available to her and not have to know all the details. But.
Well, and keep, you know, pay attention to, you know, why it's important to you to have the details in the first place and make sure that you're honoring your needs, but not going overboard. So
yes.
there's a difference between need to know and trying to control the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. I think I've lost track. It's too late at night. So Lisa, did you go yet?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Lisa went.
Yep.
Who's left? Who hasn't gone?
Terry.
Sorry, I'm like, my head's spinning. Sorry, Terry. Go ahead.
That's okay. So I'm, it definitely paid most attention to the I think I'm going to combine the keep it simple and really take some baby steps on getting her to recognize her hunger. So my takeaway is for me to be more intentional around my habit about asking her for snacks and then asking her about her hunger level. So that is going to be my action step as well. And I think I'm going to set myself up for success by having some snack in the car to give her on the way home on the days that she says, yeah, I'm kind of hungry.
Awesome. All right, great call tonight, guys. We are actually meeting again next week because of all the May schedules and stuff like that. We're doing 2 weeks in a row, so you'll have a call again next week. And so look for that in the email, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks,
great,
everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.